The value here is in the example that Ron is going to use as a correlation father-child relationship. The value is also in the experience that these young men are going to hopefully get in trying to resolve a made-up church issue. And the value is also for us as a church to listen to how the heart of a child might teach us a lesson. You know what I'm saying? Okay. So that's my aim. Hope it works. Okay. Here's the deal, guys. You've got to start talking. You guys forget that we are here. We're not here, you know. So you guys talk to each other. You act like elders. You're going to make this decision. And here's the problem. In this church that you're elders of, there's two people that go to church. They're a husband and a wife. The husband is Billy Bob Blue. And the wife, his name, Betty.
Betty Blue.
Betty Blue. Okay? So, you got that? Mm-hmm. Billy Bob Blue is the man, and the wife is Betty. Okay? Well, Betty hadn't been coming to church for the last few weeks, and somebody comes and they tell you guys, hey, Billy Bob Blue has been hitting on his wife, and she ain't coming to church because she's all black and blue. So at home, when there ain't nobody watching, the husband is hitting and beating on his wife. Now, elders, you got it. It's your thing.
Y'all going to have to talk this out, okay?
So if you want, grab that little thing right there and talk into it. You've got to figure this out. You're on your own.
Call the police.
You guys talk about it. This, you're not looking at us. Scoot down, Taylor. You got to scoot down a little bit. So we can hear you. What are you discussing with him? We should hear.
Not sure. I said something. Probably go to their house and
say that.
I said we could probably go to his house, Billy Bob's house, and talk to it about him.
Well, what do you other elders think about that? One elder doesn't make the decision, does he? Is that how y'all are going to do your eldership?
You can try to have him to study some scriptures with you. You could study the Bible with him. Should probably pray about it.
Turn that microphone down to John. John, you got to have some input about it, buddy.
I don't know.
You think it's a good thing for a husband to beat on his wife?
No. Pray for him.
Pray for him.
Go get the shepherd. Go sit down and talk with him.
Go get who?
Shepherd.
Go get a shepherd. You are a shepherd.
See if he'll talk with you.
So call him up and see if he can make an appointment with him. Now, here's just something for y'all to think about. Are all of you going to go? Because you know what? If all of you go, the person might feel a little bit outnumbered. You know, if you got 25 elders show up, you know, maybe there's some stuff like that y'all ought to be talking about, just thinking here.
I don't think we should have everybody go because we need to just have some one-on-one talk with them.
And what do you guys think about that?
I probably think two people should go because if one person's doing all the talking, the other person should probably think about what you should probably say.
That's good.
I think we should probably ask the wives or the wife and see how she feels about it before we make any decisions.
That's my boy. I'm sorry.
I think we should explain to him why he shouldn't hit his wife.
But also, what if the wife is too scared? Is that another reason to let him beat up on her?
Question. You got a really good dad.
Find a verse in the Bible that says to not do it.
I didn't tell him to say that. That's good.
Ten Commandments.
I think that Ryan and Cameron should go.
Thank you.
That's real old.
You're
welcome. Okay, let's shift gears here just a little bit.
So you're the elephant.
No, I'm still there. Okay, shepherds, what I hear you saying is that you decided to be prayerful about this, to look up some Bible verses about this, and to go to this brother and sister and talk to them about it. Okay? So, now let's shift out of, you have talked about this, you've had an elders meeting. You've talked about this. Now, let's say that you're over at Billy Bob Blue's house, and Sister what?
Betty.
Betty. Okay. You're over at their house, and you're having a discussion, and now, let's say that this happens. Billy Bob Blue says, I ain't hitting my wife, I ain't been hitting her. And she says, oh yes he is. You're sitting there with this brother and sister in Christ, and somebody ain't telling you the truth. Now what do you do?
Get a police person to come.
Grab the microphone.
Call the police to get a lie detector.
Tell them that you might trick me, but God knows everything. You might trick me, but God knows everything.
Now, who would you say that to? The wife or to Betty or Billy Bob Blue?
Listen.
Oh.
I would tell them that lying is a sin and you shouldn't do it.
Oh, good. Taylor, what would you do? You just think about it a little bit?
Now.
You know what? That's not always a bad thing. Okay, so you've coughed this up, and now let's say, now I want you to remember that someone has come. come to you and said, look, I know this is happening. Are you going to tell Billy Bob Blue that you've got first-hand information, you've got a witness to this? If you say that, are you going to get the person in trouble that told you that? Well, how are you going to approach this? Let's say this. You know Billy Bob Blue's hitting his wife. You feel 99.9% really sure that Billy Bob Blue's hitting his wife. And he's denying it. Now what are you going to talk to him about?
See if there's any reason why he would be mad at Betty for any reason at all.
See if there's any proof that he was hitting his wife.
We should probably call off that meeting and go talk about it some more.
Okay, so now what are you... Now you know a person and I did.
About the person getting in trouble with the witness, you could just say, I know you're hitting your wife, I've got a witness. You don't need to know who it is, but I got a witness.
Well, that's another good one. Now what do y'all collectively think? Because I've heard different ideas. Y'all are on the spot. You got to make a decision. You're shepherds. You're elders of the Lord's church. You're at these people's house. It ain't coffee time. You got to make a decision here.
You're breaking the Ten Commandments when you beat your wife.
We could tell Betty that she should need to be removed from the household until we get some things under control with his anger.
That's some wisdom. Did you just hear what he just said?
I was going to say that, but then you said let's switch places.
Okay, now let's say that you say that. Then what if Billy Bob Blue says, who are you to tell me what happens in my house and what not? What if they start becoming belligerent? Hateful.
You could tell them that if your wife doesn't want to stay here with you, then she doesn't have to.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, if he starts getting upset that you're saying that, what's the response going to be?
Tell him that, after that.
You can take your time.
Say, take that matter up with God.
You could say that I'm not telling you how to run your household, but you shouldn't hit your wife anyway.
Oh, that's a pretty good one. He says, I'm not telling you how to run your life, but you shouldn't be hitting your wife. Something pretty close to that. So what do you, when you say that's what I'm talking about doing, well, in effect, what are you doing? You're trying to calm the situation down so Billy Bob Blue doesn't get angry. But then you're telling him, but this has got to stop. This behavior is not right. Right?
You could just stop it for a little bit and say, let's think about what we said and have a prayer.
Well, I like that one too. Didn't you hear that? He said maybe we ought to just stop this whole conversation for a bit and have a prayer about what's going on. You know what? I want to point out something too for all of us listening. What a really good thing, because these situations happen. Church people get angry and frustrated about the things that are going on, and to stop sometimes and just say, look, let's take this before God's throne because it's just getting a little bit haywire. What a good thing, right? Okay.
Ask a question. Did you say they both are Christians?
Yes. Okay. So let's step it up a notch, okay? Billy Bob Blue now says, get out of my house. hit the road, Toad. Bye. And let's just take for, let's just say to, for argument's sake here that you accept that and you leave, okay? Now you come back to an elders meeting. You're sitting here and now you're discussing where to go from here. Billy Bob Blue just threw you out of his house. Sister Patty's crying because she's fixing to get a whooping. She's fixing to get beat some more. Now you're at an elders meeting. Now what should your discussion
be? I have a thing before he threw us out of his house that we could tell him, do you realize you could go to prison for this and you need to confess your sin to God?
Ooh, doesn't that step it up a notch? Okay, and after that, he throws you out of his house.
Yes. Now I'm going.
Yeah, okay. Yes.
We need to consider the wife. If he's upset and throwing them out, then what are they going to do about that woman?
Okay.
What are those elders going to do?
Okay, well, but we're getting there. You have just been chunked out of the house by Billy Bob Blue. And Sister Betty's there now with Billy Bob Blue, and Sister Betty's fixing to get hit a little bit more and beat upon a little bit more. And now you're back at an elders meeting. It's 5 minutes later. You've got together. Now I want to hear your discussion about what to do now.
We should take Betty to a place where she can't be hurt by him and let him cool down for a while and get a... schedule a new meeting for him with him and tell him that he should repent.
Should probably notify the police.
Notify the police on another church member?
Well, it's not really a church thing.
Using his wife.
Yeah.
I'm being hard on you, but I'm asking you a serious question.
That is pretty much illegal.
Yeah, it is illegal. Excuse me, it is illegal.
Okay, so now you guys are thinking about this. Y'all keep working together. Let's hear what you're talking about.
Since he said you can't come to my house, you probably mail him or email him about it.
Email him? So the next day after he's beat his wife 6 times, he'll get an email? You might want to just think about this, just me going here, but...
Stop sending me, stop beating your wife or I'm going to send you spam.
Well, this is right when he's about to kick you out, you could say, I'm not going to leave until the cops get here, at least not without Betty.
And what would happen? Okay, right then and there, before he kicks you out, and let's say he's in the process of kicking you, get out. You're going to tell a man inside of his own home that you're not leaving until the police get there?
And then
his idea.
And then he might threaten to hurt you, so you could say something along the lines of, I don't care if you hurt me, it's God you're going to deal with eventually.
Okay, let's remember the place in the conversation. We have already got kicked out of Billy Bob Blue's house. We're not at Billy Bob Blue's house anymore. We're over here, we're at an elders meeting. How are we going to approach this? You have some questions to ask about how you're going to approach this. It's not just what needs to immediately be done, it's what needs to happen scripturally and by the Bible and in God's way for His purpose.
I'd ask her if she thinks she's safe for now.
Oh, man, that is really good.
What did he say?
Did your grandpa help you with that? He said he would ask if she felt safe for now. Very good.
And also we could contact some family members of Betty's and have them come over and check on her.
Oh, my goodness. That's really good. Okay, now you guys have thrown up all of the, you put all these, you haven't thrown up anybody.
There's my noodles.
You have put all of these things out on the table. The idea now is to make a decision. You as an eldership, how do you make this decision? You guys talk amongst each other right now. Hey, no, no, the microphone. Let's hear what you're talking about. Just put it between you as you're talking.
We need to pray. A lot.
Your buddy's getting smacked around while y'all sitting there doing, you know.
We should probably do what Cameron said, get her to, like, go in to her family while the church tries to get him to calm down and stop hitting his wife.
What do y'all think about that? Are y'all on board with that, or how are y'all going to make the final decision? Y'all going to vote on it, or what?
To make the final decision, I think we ought to look up some scriptures about it.
And what do y'all others think about that? Y'all in agreement on that one? Or are you going to take immediate action and try to get Sister Betty out of that home and get her protected?
I would try to get her protected away from Billy Bob as soon as I could.
I will. Are you the head elder? See what I'm getting at? We, as an eldership, have to make a joint decision. No one person makes a decision, right? How are you going to make that decision? Let's hear some suggestions on that. You put out, you just said, right? What did you say? That you would what?
I would want to get her protected as soon as I could.
What do y'all, the rest of you guys think about that, Ryan? He just said he wants to get her protected as soon as possible. How do you feel about that as an elder in the Lord's church? Are you in agreement, John? Taylor?
Yes, I agree with that.
But you also said a while ago that we need to study the Bible concerning that topic. So are you all in agreement that besides getting her protected immediately, that you need to go study the scripture on this idea?
I think that we should do a daily call to make sure that she's okay if she can't go to anyone's house, to a close house. Close friend's house.
I would try to get Betty protected first, and then we could like study the scriptures with Billy Bob and stuff.
Does that seem reasonable to everyone? Yes? Okay, so. Okay. Now what we'll do is we'll take a break from where we're at now. Wow, that was loud. Okay, let's relax for a second. I realize that not everyone in here has been to an elders meeting. But what you just saw is what happens in elders meetings. These are the types of difficulties that elders face. And I think it's good for us as a church to know what these men are doing in their spare time for our behalf as servants of the Lord. What an awesome thing to have godly men who loves us enough and cares about us enough to make hard decisions about just getting kicked out of somebody's home. Probably got boot prints still on their backside. And they're praying about them. They're studying about them. They're having relatives call and check on them. And that type of stuff. You know what I think? I think we have some future elders here. God bless these young men. and also a blessing maybe perhaps on the parents who, the fathers and the fathers of them, that helped do a little pushing and a little bit of helping there. That was good, Ron.
Like I said, I have a question. We've got at least three of our elders here. How close to the conversation that's the conversation?
Okay, let me repeat that. Ron says, because I think we're taping it, is that right? Ron Burke says, how close did this conversation between these kids are in what grade? I don't even know what grade you're in, Ryan.
Fifth and sixth grade.
How close did their conversation as a mock eldership resemble an actual elder situation? Glenn?
They did it a lot faster than me.
In Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 15, it says, "One witness is not enough to convict a man accused of any crime or offense he may have committed. A matter must be established by testimony of two or three witnesses."
Did your father help you come up with that, your surrogate? Hey, I'm writing a sermon I need you to help me with later. Thank you. Thank you for reading that. Brother Bickford?
Well, first of all, the elders don't work in their spare time. It's any time that needs to be done. We may have to drop something that we're doing and go and take care of a problem that's within the brotherhood. And so we go any time, whether it happens to be spare time or whether we're working on a project ourselves or whatever it is. Because it's very important. Very important that we're looking at souls. And what's more important than a soul? And so we could be doing some what we think is very important, but when you compare it to what you're doing and what you are trying to resolve and to bring two people back together into agreement, and the study of the scripture is very important in that. And these young people came up with that without any problem. And that's what we would do also. We would do some study, try to find out, does this, what we're studying, does this apply to the kind of problem that we're handling? And does the Word of God give us anything to help us make a decision on how to handle this situation? So generally, we don't go out as a group to do this. Usually one or two will go together. Usually the more severe the case and the probability of some kind of a row coming out of it, we may just one of us go. Or if we think that we need a little backup, then we'll take a second one along. But the real important thing here is to try to get the problem resolved. And I found the best way to communicate with people is simply ask them questions. Don't blame them in any way, but just ask them questions.
That comes across less abrasive.
Less abrasive, and it makes them more open to talk. So, in this case, you'd be asking old Billy Bob, "Billy Bob, what do you think about beating up on a woman, a man beating up on a woman that's his wife and loves him? What would you say about that situation?" Instead of saying, "It looks like you're guilty of beating your wife," now which one of those are you going to probably get a response out of, and not the other? So there's a lot of things that go on, and we do a lot of talking about these things. I guarantee you.
I'm watching the clock, so I wanted to get to Richard and get his take on this, but let's be mindful of the clock before we move on, because I've got a couple other questions I'd like to ask. I want to ask the kids that participated a question, and then we'll open it up to any questions that you have. I want you guys to answer for me a question. How did it feel being an elder, and how did you think about all the things that you were having to deal with?
It made me feel very mature.
It was difficult, but I think it was good for our spiritual life also.
How'd you feel about it, John?
Nervous.
Nervous? You know what? I'm glad you felt nervous about it, because some people's spiritual souls is on the line. I'm glad you did.
I felt that if I made a mistake, I might have been in trouble or something, so...
Or if you made a mistake, someone's soul might have been on the line. Guys, when you get a chance, tell the shepherds how much you appreciate them, because that is such a burden to carry around in your heart, isn't it, guys? Richard, that's a burden to carry around, isn't it? Okay, question time.
I would like to hear more about what the answer based on God's word. Because the passage that Ryan quoted wasn't the story that one person had come and said this was happening, and then the elders went. A single witness shall not suffice against a person for any crime or for any wrong in connection with any offense that he has committed, only on the evidence of two witnesses or of three witnesses shall the charge be established. If a malicious witness arises to accuse a person of wrongdoing, then both parties to the dispute shall appear before the Lord, before the priests and the judges who are in office in those days. The judges shall inquire diligently, and if the witness is a false witness and has accused his brother falsely, then you shall do to him as he had meant to do to his brother. So you shall purge the evil from your midst, and the rest shall hear and fear, and shall never again commit any such evil among you. Your eye shall not pity. It shall be light, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand.
And that is what we hope that the elders, when they get out of the heat of the moment, will go back and read the scripture, and we hope that they'll understand that one witness ain't going to cut it to establish a fact. You're true. There was only one witness to establish the fact. But you read that, and maybe you were indicating that we need multiple witnesses. And you guys indicated early on...
Well, should the elders are be at a mature state where they would know the scripture before they actually went to somebody before knowing what they were doing?
You probably have the witness of the wife. You probably have the witness and the wife, and there's your second witness. The wife is the
first.
Yeah,
but you said the story that in the story she just hadn't been coming. He didn't say that she had gone to them. And
yeah, I understand exactly where you're going. So, yes is the answer, but obviously our elders and our mock situation didn't have all that to begin with. They didn't understand all of the facts. They just knew that Sister Betty was getting beat up on and they needed to...
I think Brian, you're right on there, kid.
Well, so good question. This discussion that we're having here is discussions that elders back up and have later, because elders don't always remember everything they're supposed to remember, right? You guys go back and you search the scriptures, and then you talk amongst yourselves and you go, oh, you know, we should do this or we should do that. We failed here. This is a continual conversation, isn't it? And the New Testament tells us how to handle it.
Yeah, to go with the witnesses and to talk. And it doesn't necessarily, because you go and talk to them, if they've necessarily done it, you go to find out, you go to get the information. Like Ward says, you go and ask questions. That's how it works out.
Which eliminates the, hey, you did this,
right,
and ask questions, which is a pretty good way to do it. Okay, we'll just go around the table. Go ahead. Linda?
Can the elder take his wife with him? Because when you descend upon this house, this woman is his equal. I mean, a bunch of men are not to ask
him. Oh, what?
You know, the wife can talk to her. The elder can talk.
Let me tell you what, I see the elders bobbing their head just like I'm sitting here. I didn't even think of that. I mean, I say I don't mean to place myself above anyone. That sure didn't cross my mind, but I sure see the
she's scared.
Lots of questions would have to be asked about whether or not it's appropriate to take the wife or not, right? Sam?
I don't know what the law is in this state, but I know there are some states where if you report somebody for domestic abuse, they immediately spend the night in jail. Would that put them in a better or worse mood? I don't know who would even consider that, or would consider calling the police. I mean, I've got a bunch of questions I don't know how to ask.
Do you see how we have changed the level of the conversation from the young group to a whole different level that the elders have got to be at? And you don't want to act quickly even on that. Glenda?
Yeah, kind of along the lines of what Ward has said, that they need to go in trying to find out the state of these people's hearts. Where they're standing in their relationship with God. Because there's a breakdown.
Yes. And ultimately, what is the ultimate goal of the elders?
Protect their souls.
The salvation of people's souls and the security of their souls. Right?
I commend the young people because one of the first things they said was that they needed to pray. They need to go to the Lord Jesus and have Him guide, and He will guide you to the scripture you need.
Very good.
He will teach you.
Cameron?
Ryan has something. Not only would you need a witness, you would need some proof that, you know, if she was like beating on her every day, she'd probably have some bruises. Or...
Any other questions? We're getting close, and Glenn?
One of the really, really difficult things that we face in a situation like this, and we have made errors in this area, and that is when you're in a real difficult situation with a family like this, how much of this does the congregation need to know? That is a terribly difficult question to answer. And I bring this up and throw it out to you to get your ideas on. Just take this situation right here. Should the elders then come back? And should they say, you know, we need to have this congregation involved in this. These people are part of our family. And maybe some of them can help us with their contacts with them. And if nothing else, the whole congregation can be on their knees praying for them. So is it, you know, normally we'd say, well, don't let anybody know about this. Well, I don't know that that's really a good idea.
Okay. We're just about out of time, so hold on just one second. We're just about out of time. I hope that you young guys have learned something here. I really do. It's my prayer to God that you have learned something, and it's my prayer that you'll direct your lives in such a way that you'll fill some of these shoes of some of these shepherds that do a wonderful work for the Lord, okay? And parents, fathers, all the people acting as father figures, I hope you see the necessity in guiding your children, okay? And all of us, I hope that we have been able to see how difficult some of these decisions are, just right down to the last one. Glenn says, hey, how much do we let the church know? These guys wrestle earnestly in their heart about that. There's a lot of wrestles, isn't there? There is a lot of wrestles. Okay.
It never hurts to ask for prayers. situation is if you say there's a family, all you have to do is just say the family needs prayers. We just need to really pray for them because they're going through some difficult times. And we don't have to go into detail necessarily. And then the shepherds can take people that they can trust themselves, a woman and a man, and say, so-and-so's having a problem. You think you could call her and see how she's doing and that kind of thing.
One more.
That was all I was going to say. I'm not sure that it's really, it isn't important for us to know the details. What we have to do is when our elders come and they say, we have some folks, they're in trouble. The souls are in jeopardy. They need your prayers. That's what all of us should be about. Because if we focus on what's the problem, people are trying to take sides. Well, do I agree? Don't I agree? It's not, that takes the focus on the issue. The issue is people's souls are in jeopardy.
Okay, we're out of time, so we're just going to stop right here. Do us a favor. Give us a little bit of feedback on how you viewed tonight's class and whether it was helpful to you and the overall scope of thing. If you get a chance to do that for us, and we'll have everybody come in.